and welcome to A Drummer's Guide to the podcast, all about the things that it takes to be a professional musician aside from actually playing your instrument. We've kind of taken that as a given. Plus, it's always a lifelong journey learning to play an instrument, or multiple if you're one of those incredible slash annoying people that can play multiple instruments. I only play drums. I am nothing but a drummer. So anyway, today I wanted to talk about a subject that I've wanted to talk about it for quite a while, but I kind of didn't know how to frame it. And I'm still not convinced I do know how to frame it, if I'm honest, but I'm just going to go for it. Because I was talking to someone, Matt Ingram, a guitarist, about this. And I realized that I think I have a bit of a stigma around talking about this because of how I may come across. And as soon as I realized that I had that in my head, I was like, well, that means that I need to address it and I need to just let it out and just let it be, because I don't like having stigmas about things surrounding what I'm about to talk about. So, I want to talk about self-talk. So
something went wrong.
Well, don't worry about that.
Try again in a few seconds.
Let's switch Google off.
The mic and camera are off.
That's better. My internet at the moment is so shocking. It is driving me insane. But consequently, my Google enjoys just randomly flaring up and having a word now and then. So they're on silent. They don't get to talk anymore. So I'll tell you what, who does get to talk? The voice inside my head. Self-talk. Now, this idea of self-talk and how you talk to yourself was sort of brought to my attention, I suppose, when I was in my late teens. That's when I became aware of it as a thing. I think we all talk to ourselves in various ways, you know, for as long as we've been able to. I've never looked into when that might start, but you know, I'm sure we've always done it. But in terms of being aware of it, I became aware of it through reading books, like self-help books essentially, or self-development books, however you want to put it. And the one that sticks out to me the most, well, the author that sticks out to me the most, so when I was around 18, I really got into Tony Robbins' books. And a big part of his sort of like teachings and what he talks about are affirmations. And these are just things that you sort of say to yourself every day to kind of, cultivate a good relationship with yourself, to kind of like become the thing that you want to be, become the person that you want to be and whatever else. Now, full disclosure, in case you hadn't noticed, I'm from the UK and I've been brought up here, and therefore things like affirmations, nah. In the past, I still don't feel particularly comfortable with them, but I understand the importance of them for some people. But when I was that age, forget about it. It was just an embarrassing thing to me. And I put that fully down to the culture that I've been brought up in. You know, we don't, as the island that we are, we don't sort of big ourselves up. It's awkward, it's uncomfortable, it's, you know, I personally would feel that it's very like egotistical, it's very arrogant, all this sort of stuff. So for me, things like affirmations never, ever, 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 ever jived with me, like not even slightly. However, what did become apparent, and this was not till many years later, was the kind of ways I was talking to myself. Because although I was not okay with me saying to myself, you know, I am strong, I am confident, I am a great drummer. No, even now that makes me cringe. It is not in, like, it's just not in, it's not in my bones. It makes me feel so uncomfortable. You can tell because I'm shifting around. If you're listening to this, I'm literally shifting around on my chair right now because it's just not okay with me. It's so incongruent with, like I say, my upbringing and how I feel about myself. And not to say that I think the opposite of those things, but when I was younger, I certainly had a predisposition to talking to myself in a very negative way. And I don't know where that's come from. I don't know. It kind of doesn't matter. It kind of is what it is. It was what it was. I've moved on from that. But I very much, I still am to a degree, but it's different now and I'll explain. But I was so hard on myself. Everything that I did wasn't good enough. Everything that I played, I would pick apart. Every person that I met, there would be an inner monologue going, they don't like you, they hate you, they think you're an idiot. You know, you're an imposter syndrome. All of that was rife. It was just like, you don't belong here. You're a charlatan. They're gonna find you out. Someone's gonna find you out. If you play in front of that person, they're gonna realize that you're rubbish and no one's ever gonna call you for work again. And then it would also be down to really like superficial things like, you're ugly and look at you look rubbish and why would anyone ever like you? You know, just these horrendous and much worse. I'm being very selective with the things that I would be telling myself. And like I say, it was kind of my default setting to talk to myself like that. And at the time, I very much listened. I listened and I put value on whatever this voice was, wherever it was coming from. I believed it, which probably sounds crazy, but and I apologize if I used the word crazy, because I know that maybe that's not the correct term I should be using these days, but it's how I felt at the time. And I fear that people will listen to this and go, she has got some sort of multiple personality disorder or something like that. You know what? Maybe I do, but I've really made it work for me recently, so I will go into that. But the point was, when I was younger, and I'm talking like from when I, let's go from when I was 18 and trying to do these affirmations, because it was definitely before that, but this is when I became aware of it. Apologies for that. There was a phone call that came through that I've been waiting for, and it's something to do with a gig that I will be probably, hopefully, telling you about at some point soon. Anyway, on to other things. So I was talking about talking negatively to myself. Now, the problem that I had with this when I was younger, and especially sort of playing and just the general, you know, I'm not being funny, but we're creatives and we are, do you know what? No, forget about that. We're human and we've all got insecurities. And the problem with having this sort of negative self-talk going on in the background for me was that I was listening to it. And not only that, I was believing it. So what that meant was that I was not being my own sort of like cheerleader, if you like. I wasn't believing in myself. I was believing that I was not good enough. I was believing that I was getting away with it. I was, you know, people were going to find me out any minute now. Now, as, alongside of this, obviously I'm playing in bands. I'm sort of like, you know, practicing. I'm just making my way. I'm developing as a musician. But when you have that constant negative self-talk, you can't help but actually take some of that on sometimes. And I don't care what anyone says, it will affect your playing and your confidence in your playing, which in turn will affect how you actually do your job, as it were. And I have struggled with this the whole of my life, the whole of my playing life, definitely. I can pinpoint times where that negative self-talk has taken over. And I'm talking recently. I'll tell you the most prominent time that I remember that it really absolutely destroyed my playing to a point that I just felt I couldn't play. And that was when COVID had hit. And it was January 2021. I was in my second year with the Voice Kids, and I distinctly remember being in that rehearsal room. And obviously we were all like separated. We all had masks on. We all had shield, like Perspex screens around us to make sure that it was all safe and that. And not only as someone who is very, I'm very tactile. I like, you know, when I'm working with people, I like hugging you to say hello. It's my way of like connecting with people, is like physical touch or just being like physically close to people, right? So I already didn't have that. Obviously, we'd had a year of COVID. So I, you know, socially, I think all of our social skills went a little bit skew-iff at the time, which just didn't help things. But in my head, that sort of like environment was enforcing this idea that I wasn't good enough to be there, because the usual signals that I would get from people to give me, that I would look for validation, realistically, weren't there, because we were all just going, how do we do this social thing again? I don't want to get sick. You know, it was just a strange environment. So everyone was acting weird. Obviously, of course we were. It was a weird old time. It was a weird old time. But consequently, this voice in my head that had been there before in every situation, but especially in The Voice Kids, because it's really good at bringing up my worst insecurities. Instead of me being able to listen to it and then look for cues to kind of counter it, they weren't there, which sent my brain into an absolute spiral. Like, I got to a point where I remember sitting and we went to play Isn't She Lovely by Stevie Wonder. And this is a song that obviously I've played so many times on like function gigs, da 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 da. My body just could, it's not that it couldn't do it because I did it, but it was not good. It was, I still cringe about that. It was just like, what is going on? Like the connection between the thoughts that I was having and how it was manifesting in what my body was doing was so stark and so shocking and debilitating. That's what it felt like, debilitating. And I think it was in that moment, I'd already known that how you talk to yourself is very important and I had been working on it and all this sort of stuff, but in that very specific environment, it all just came to a head for me and I was just like, no, this is not okay. Like, I used to think that, you know, talking badly to myself, talking negatively to myself would keep me grounded. It would keep me humble. It would keep me from seeming arrogant or anything like that. But in this instance, it was like, no, this is destroying me. This is actually destroying who I am as a person, as a player. I couldn't even communicate with people in that room because I was so embarrassed. And it just, like I say, it just snowballed the whole situation. And it started from this kind of like negative self-talk. Now, the reason that it hadn't snowballed before and after that, and I'm still working on this, but it's the best thing for me at least. So, is that I started not doing necessarily positive self-talk, because as I've said before, positive self-talk and affirmations, they don't work for me. When I do them, it makes me cringe, it makes me feel uncomfortable, like all that sort of stuff. So I was just like, nah, it's not for me. However, what I realized was when those negative thoughts came, and when they come, because they still do, I haven't gotten rid of them, instead, what I started doing was challenging them and basically getting a little bit aggro with them. And before, when a negative thought would come into my head, I would just accept it, or I would try and ignore it. I would absolutely not recommend ignoring it, because it will just get stronger and it will turn into a monster. I wouldn't recommend that. What I started doing instead was challenging it. And even further than that, rather than, and like I say, I was getting aggro with it and going, but what are you talking about? Like, but what about this? But what about that? What I've started doing more recently, it's much more productive, is having a conversation with it. Because actually, and I sort of spoke about this in another episode recently, often what I find is that negative voice that's going on is actually just insecurity, and it's just trying to protect me from something. And that could be something very primal, like in terms of evolution, you know, like just danger, or like being excluded from the tribe, all those sorts of like primal basic instincts that we do still have. It could be that, or, well, in fairness, it probably is just that. That's probably exactly where most of them come from. So I would initially, like I say, challenge it, but in quite an aggressive way, because I think I was just so over it. You know what I mean? I was over it. And I was like, I'm ready for a fight with myself. Like I say, I'm going to sound like I have some sort of multiple personality disorder. But, and I'd get really angry at that voice. Which again, it's better than listening to it and going, okay, you must be right because you're saying it. But it's not very productive. Now, there was a shift with that. And that was mainly around the time when I was reading The Chimp Paradox, which I talk about The Chimp Paradox so much, but it's a basically, it's a model for understanding your brain. And part of that is your chimp, which is kind of the primal responses that you have to things when you lash out or, you know, just have a very emotional response to stuff. And when I was reading that, that's when I sort of was made aware that actually I don't need to fight this voice in my head. I also, like, I don't need to challenge it. Actually, what I need to do is have a conversation with it. So whereas before it would be a some sort of nasty comment about myself that I was saying to myself, you know, and then challenging it, it turned into a conversation. Which was kind of like more, I guess it was more empathetic of like, all right, what are you trying to actually protect me from right now? Which helped. Now, these days, instead of letting it get to that point where it's this nasty lashing out comment that I'm giving myself, you're rubbish, you know, you can't do anything right, any of that. I notice when I feel it bubbling up just a little bit, and instead of letting it progress, and in fact, sometimes without even that initial marker, if you like, what I will do instead is I often have conversations with myself where I just check in. I check in with the chimp. In terms of the chimp paradox model, I check in with the chimp. I did it yesterday. I was having a walk in the woods and I was like, it had occurred to me that I hadn't had a conversation with my chimp for a little while. And I was like, so just want to check that you're all right. Is everything all right? And my chimp was like, yeah, I think it is. I'm feeling a bit insecure about this, a little bit insecure about that. And obviously this is upsetting, but you know, like, but I'm okay sort of thing. And I was like, all right, good. And then just reassuring the chimp, this is going to sound absolutely mental if you haven't read this book, and I'm sorry, please do pick up a copy of The Chimp Paradox. If you want to understand your brain, it's so good. It's by Professor Steve Peters, man from Yorkshire. So like I say, now I just have conversations with myself. I talk it out. It's kind of like, you know, we all get frustrated by things. There's things at the moment that's going on in my home life, which I will not go into. I will at some point, which is involving a lot of anguish and stress and all sorts of stuff. But I have daily conversations with myself where I can just express exactly what I'm feeling to myself and just let it out and then just have a conversation about it and sort of like take the energy out of it in a good way, like in a healthy way, rather than letting it build up and build up and build up and it coming out in a way that I don't want it to necessarily, and allowing myself to kind of work through it and allowing myself to feel those feelings also. I'm not trying to repress anything. I'm just trying to, like I say, validate the chimp, I suppose, and the way that it's feeling if it's freaking out, and just trying to comfort it and just be like, look, I understand this sucks, but here's what we can do, here's what we can't do, so let's just get on with it sort of thing. So I think there's some real value in that. So in terms of self-talk for me, it's really become about just having a conversation. Like I say, this could be a casual conversation. If you see me walking around in my house or see me walking when I'm in the woods, basically anytime I'm walking by myself, it's very likely you're going to hear me talking to myself. And I'm having a whale of a time of a conversation with myself a lot of the time. Sometimes I'm working stuff out and just, you know, working through problems or just like, you know, and there's something about verbalizing it that really helps me. But other times I end up just cracking up of the ludicrousy of life. I'm not even sure if that's a word. Ludicrousy? Yeah, go on then, why not? And another thing that I've started doing, which is interesting, and I don't know if this helps anyone. I'm trying it as an idea. And it's interesting. I've started, like, I was thinking about this, right? You know how, okay, there's a whole train of thought with this. you know how people write in their diaries, right? And I've thought about this, you know, back in the day, people were writing their diaries, and these days, you know, I don't know whether mental health is better or worse, but it's certainly more visible, which is cool. But back in the day, people writing in their diaries. And then you think about people that say about writing morning pages, for instance, if anyone's heard of that. And basically getting your thoughts down on paper, right? Doesn't work for me because my wrist gets tired. and also my brain does not work quick. Like, sorry, no, my hand cannot write as quickly as my brain wants it to. So I get frustrated with things like that. And I just thought of that as a concept, but I thought, well, that doesn't work for me, but I wonder if I could do some sort of, like, not morning pages necessarily. That's something from The Artist's Way, by the way, if you don't know. It's, yeah, like I say, it's about getting your thoughts out every morning, just for 3 pages, I think it is. It's very hard. But yeah, linking that to the idea of keeping a diary, which I think is a really good thing, just to remember how you're feeling or whatever else, or processing feelings. I think there's something about sort of getting it out. My version of that has been recently having a conversation with myself. But taking it a step further, because as you know, I like to take things to an extreme, I've started doing voice notes to myself. Now, sometimes these voice notes are just like diary entries, right? Or like if I've had a weird dream. I had a really strange dream the other night. Like, the cast of characters was so obscure. I was just like, in fact, I had a really weird one last night as well. Oh, it was horrible. But anyway, I will often do like, yeah, just what's going on, how I'm feeling about, da da da. But there's also moments where when I want to have difficult conversations with people, for instance, and maybe I actually want to have that conversation, or maybe I don't, maybe I just want to let it out. And I've started doing voice notes to myself, almost maybe not practicing the conversation, but just airing it, if that makes sense. And then hearing it back gives me a lot more clarity on how I'm actually feeling about the situation. So it's an interesting thing, and I've started doing it. And I'm not saying that I'll carry it on, but I'm saying it's interesting. So maybe it's worth something exploring. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But yeah, self-talk, I think, is just, it's so important. And I think for me, I'm creating a much more healthy relationship with the voice that is inside of my head. It's becoming much kinder. And actually, weirdly, even yesterday when I was walking, I was like, you know, you often hear, like, see quotes or hear quotes about saying, like, you better love yourself because you're the only person that you'll ever, like, you're stuck with yourself, basically. And that idea of, like, well, I should really make friends with this voice in my head then. That's kind of stuck, like, that's been with me, that idea, for a little while now. And yesterday I was like, yeah, why have I not been friends with this voice for all this time? It just makes so much sense. To the point that I have found myself often apologizing to that voice in my head that I'm going to call my chimp. My chimp's name is Bob, by the way. I often find myself apologizing to Bob for all the times that I silenced him, didn't listen to him, just ignored him, repressed him. And yeah, just, it wasn't the right thing to do. It wasn't. I've learned, and that's really good, and I'm still learning, and I'll always be learning. But anyway, yeah, I just think it's a really interesting, and I feel an important thing to really kind of, I don't know, make that voice an ally. Why wouldn't you? Be your biggest cheerleader. And again, it doesn't need to be in this kind of affirmation way. If that makes you uncomfortable, just find out what works for you, because, like, there's no point in forcing yourself to do something that someone has told you when it just doesn't work for you. Like, no, I find when I do that with anything in life, I feel physical sick, like physical sickness, illness symptoms. I don't know, I can barely speak today. Like, I feel physically sick. I feel physical pain when things like that are incongruent. It's so stark to me when something is wrong for me. My whole body reacts. My whole body just shuts down. And in the past, I've forced my way through it to my absolute detriment. But now I'm kind of like listening and just going, okay, maybe this isn't the way for me. Let's try something else. And it might be something that I haven't heard anyone else talk about, but that's part of the reason that I let you guys know about it, because it might work for you as well. If you're not into the affirmations thing, that's fine. But maybe you're into the having a conversation with that nasty voice and challenging it, or becoming friends with it, or just like having a laugh with it. A lot of the time, I also just laugh at the ludicrousy. Again, ludicrousy, not sure it's a word, of what that voice is saying to me. Like, it's hilarious. And I'll just laugh and I go, really? But what about this? And that and the other. Oh, yeah, fair enough. So anyway, as I say, if you see me walking in the woods and talking to myself, don't worry about it. It's all good. And feel free to interrupt that conversation as well. Come and say hi. Come and say hi, because I'm just talking to myself because I like talking. I don't know whether you've noticed, we're now, what is it, 127 episodes in, and the majority, bar one episode, is all me talking, monologue style. No, do you know what? That's being too generous, I think. Diatribe style. So anyway, I hope that this has resonated with you in some way. Thank you again, Matt Ingram, for sort of like just, you know, having this conversation with me over, it was over Instagram, so that I felt that, yeah, maybe this is time to just talk about this and in such a way. And I hope you've enjoyed it. Hope it's resonated. Again, if you, as always, if you've enjoyed this episode, please do feel free to like, share, and subscribe. If you'd like to go the extra mile, you can support this podcast now on Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/EmilyDrums. Oh, excuse me. And if you'd like to delve into the many other things that I do, including one-on-one coaching, if you fancy just fleshing out any ideas that you have about your career, or if you want to sort out your social media presence, or, you know, just touring in general, or recording, or anything, then yeah, please do get in touch. You can go to emilydrums.com. I do a plethora of things as well. That's a good word, plethora. Anyway, I hope you're keeping well, wherever you are, whatever you're up to. I'm sending you lots and lots of love, and I'll see you next time for another subject. All right, I will see you later. Bye.